as Hashem try to wrap it up, this is the last time that we'll meet for this machzor of the Sheish Mitzvahs. I want to talk a little bit about Lo Sasuru, how it fits together. The question, if you want to talk about the Seder HaTorah, that's one thing. So, you know, Anoichi is in Shmois, and Leia, and Shema is in Dvarim. Ahava and Mira also, maybe after Shema. Lo Sasuru is in Bamidbar. How are they inside of them in Kriya Shema? Why? There's many different ways of looking at them if you want to talk about them, not just as individual mitzvahs, but if you want to put it together, if we were to take on that Sheish mitzvahs have some sort of a cohesiveness together, there are many ways to look at it. You can look at it the way they're in Chumash, maybe the way they put them together in Kriya Shema, which is Lav Dafka, the exact same Seder Vidyuk. But I wanted to raise the question, because what I wanted to hope to get to tonight was, as we walk away, I want to take from the Sheish Mitzvahs something, a mahalach, although I really think that anyone who wants to, for themselves, to take on Sheish Mitzvahs should make their own marachas, like the Shari Tshuva says, that if a person really wants to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Yira, he has to make marachas. He says over there that right, the people who were Mekayim Yira Shemayim properly, they were making marachas. That means mahalchim in how to put things together, how to approach things. You know, you have like step one, step two, step three, a process of how to categorize or organize the ideas as a trigger to get you into it. Yeah, so it's called a marocha. You put things together in a pile, in a certain order, in a certain arrangement, and that way it makes it easier for you to remember it and to access it and to go deeper into it. There's an avoida like that. I once heard, when I went to Rav Noach Zatzal many times, I heard from him marachas, but one time that's etched in my mind in particular was when he told me this vort from the Shari Tshuva. He actually got it off the shelf, which he never did, never once took a sefer off the shelf. The only time I ever remember seeing him take a sefer off the shelf to show me inside where it says it in the Shari Tshuva that a person has to make marachas. And he told me, you know, this is my maracha for the question you asked me. This is my maracha of how I deal with it. And why are we making marachas? And here's the makor in the Shari Tshuva, you have to make marachas. And then posthumously, it turns out that one of his son-in-laws had 130-something marachas that he was makabel from Rav Noach, that no one knew. Nobody knew any of them, right? A lot of them we had heard, but by the time we got into, we started handling with him, it turns out we had heard a number, you know, many of them, but it was surprising how many marachas he had, you know, that no one had ever heard in all the years. But anyways, you gotta make marachas. So the goal is, the structure of the shiur will be, I'm going to talk a little bit about Lo Sasuru, because I think it's the Pesach into turning the Sheish Mitzvahs into a Marocha, and I'll explain why. And then I'll talk about one Marocha that we have from the Rishonim and Sheish Mitzvahs Tamidius. And then from there, you know, hopefully I'll invite you to make your own Marochas, and we'll try to close it and put it all together, like a little bit of a scene. So the question is, where does Lo Sasuru fit exactly? Yeah. How does it work? Who's Lo Sasuru talking about? Are we talking about that I have to work on being Mekayim, the Tamidi of not following after the desires of my eyes and my heart? Yeah, because that will undermine my ability to live with an awareness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Or are we talking about a person who's holding in living with a Kadosh Baruch Hu? He's in that matzah. But in order not to fall away from it and become distracted from it, I have to be Mekayim Lo Sasuru. In other words, is it something that's going to be oiker, something that's going to uproot the whole structure of awareness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu mitchilasai? If I'm not working on Lo Sasuru, I'm not a bar hachi. Just like a kid who's not 13 years old, he's not a bar mitzvah, is he, right? he's not shayach yet really to mitzvahs. He's not in the category yet. If I'm not working on leis asur, on levavkim rafrei nidikim is the word. I'm not shayach yet to the inyanim of emuna and what emuna is meant to bring me to. I should be. We're all bar mitzvahs, but if you're holding by not working on leis asur, is the pshat that you're just not in the zone. It's not shayach to be mekayim the mitzvahs of emuna and everything that'll bring you to. Or the pshat that we're all maminim, we're all trying to be maminim, we're working on emuna, but we have to work on this. It's like we have to guard ourselves to protect ourselves from falling, you know, out of it, so to speak. Yeah, which one is it? So from the lashon of the Rambam. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zorah, Perek Beis. He says, it's a Perek Beis Halacha Gimel. He starts bringing all the lavim of Avodah Zorah, Bechlal, brings many of them. He says, "V'kol lavim ha'elu binin echad hein, v'hu shalo yifne achar Avodah Zorah." The person shouldn't turn towards Avodah Zorah. "V'kol nifne achareh b'derek shehu oisaboy maise har is a loike." That's Malkus. But not only Avodah Zorah is it asur to turn after in your machshava. El kol machshava, any machshava should gairemis loyla adam lakor ikr miikri hatayra. Muzharin anu shaloy haloisa al libeinu. Velo nasiach daipenu lakach. Venechshav venimshach achar haihura haleg. Okay, so it's not only about Azorah that the Torah is talking about, like Sifnu El Ha'alili. That's just that was the way the Torah expressed it. That may have been the common challenge of the day. But Lamaisa, what was the Torah really worried about? The Torah is really worried about a person, their machshava is being drawn towards anything, any mental thought capacity, you know, mind space being used up on machshavas that could be oiker. Dover, right? Dover miikrei hatorah. Any machshava that could lead a person to be oiker of machshava of ikrei hatorah, a person is forbidden to go into it. Sounds very narrow-minded, really, but that's the facts. If you take this at face value, how's a person who's a baal tshuva ever supposed to become frum? Right? I've had this question for a long time. I have a thought about it, but I think it's a good question, Lamaisa. If according to the Torah, right, a person's not allowed to think about anything that might be oiker, right? Any machshava of ikrei hatorah. So how are they allowed to go through the process of trying to figure out if Hashem does exist or if He doesn't exist? Not that they would have a choice. I don't know what we're supposed to tell a person. What are you supposed to tell them? No, remain fried. Don't think about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But on the way of trying to figure out if Hashem exists or not, he's bound to be thinking, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. He'll look into this book and that book, and should we encourage such a thing or not? Do we have to go to a person who's become a baal tshuva and say, look, here's the emes, take it or not. That's it. You can't think about it. You can't, not allowed to think about it. You have to just, here it is, this is the emes.
I heard once that a person is allowed to learn when he's on a trip, and he shouldn't be worried that he say manoi ilanze, manoi nilze, because he's not stopping in the middle of the learning. He's learning in the middle of the trip. So
right.
So the same thing over here. When the person he's about tshuva, he's bichlan not holding it about Hashem. He's just putting in himself a machshava that maybe there is Hashem. He's not putting the other machshava. The other machshava is the passes by him. For a person which is holding by there is Hashem, he should not think maybe there's not.
So good. So that's what I think the pshat is. Let's read further in the Rambam, and you'll see whether we can support what we're saying here. So look what he says. What's the tam? Why is a person not allowed to look into other things? Yeah, svarim achitzoinim. All the, you know, he's talking about Aristo. He's talking about Aristotle's writings. He's talking about philosophy. He's talking about all the things. By the way, let's not, you know, beat around the bush. The Rambam did exactly this. How did Rambam write in Mar Nebuchim the whole Aristotelian proof with 26 axioms and the whole thing? You think he was just cutting and pasting it on a computer, like from Wikipedia, cut and paste? He wasn't Isaac in it, Bechlal, right? He just cut it and pasted it, like, you know, Kamosha Katu there, like this. In the end, he writes over there that I went into this whole thing all the way to understand it at its Shrushim. And I found that, you know, aside from the fact that, you know, Aristotle was a mushkus as a person, In this, he got it right. It was, his mind is, you know, just a little bit underneath that of a Navi in terms of his Yecholus, and he got this part he got right. The guy writes like that in the Marnei Rukam. The Rambam did what he says not to do. You know, obviously, so we have to understand, even though it's a kasha on the Rambam, it's a kasha on him, Inei Ubei, what he wrote over here not to do. He did. So listen to what he writes. What's the reason why we're so narrow-minded and you're not allowed to look into anything? So he says, Mitnei shedaita shel adam kitsara. V'lo kol hadeyas yecholos lahasig ha'emes al burya. People's minds are limited, yeah, in terms of the discipline, and not every person can get to the MSL Burya. V'imi moshe kol adam acher machshava zliba. If a person goes, you know, every boondoggle in machshava that, you know, that comes and, wow, maybe this, oh wow, maybe that, then the next thing you know, nimsa makir v'zoylam l'fi kaitzer daizot. Right? That's a description, l'maisa, of what's going on today, really. If you look around our world, that is a description of what's going on today. People are just makir v'zoylam because they get a, you know, a thought in their head like, ah, here's how we can fix the world. We're going to fix this, we're going to fix that. We've got this idea, that idea. They don't think about it, they don't contemplate it. And even if they do, they get stuck in the middle somewhere, but they're stuck with it, and then you don't have to go all the way with it, and then you're master of the world for... But anyways. So he says basically this svara of why we're not allowed. Yeah? And at the end of it, he says, you'll end up... You'll go back and forth. Maybe God does exist, maybe he doesn't. Yeah. Shemahu, Shemaime, Malamala, Malamata, Malaknima, of course you go into all sorts of things that are beyond the human mind to even question and grasp. Upamim Benabua, Shemin Yemes, Shemaino, Upamim Bitara, maybe Torah is Emes, maybe it's not, maybe Nabuah is Emes, maybe it's not. The Eino Yedea Hamidois. The person's not well versed in the Midois, she yodun behem. That you have to be done according to the shimush of the midos of machshava and logic and everything to analyze the question to go through. People aren't disciplined in this way. So, and then he says, well, in Yenzeh, he's here at Torah. The Torah is mazir on this. It says in the Torah, as if to say, like which everyone always does, of course. Right? So, it'll destroy you, but there's no ma'isa here. So, now, it's brought down, I think, in a couple of places that to justify the Rambam and the Ramban and others of the Rishayim who were Oisek was, one, it was Eis Lasais because there were many Yidden who had been drawn into this stuff and they were lost. They were pashut lost. It was like a mitzvah to save Yidden who had been stuck and got in the middle, and they were exactly where the Rambam was describing. So these men of great and powerful mind took it upon themselves, Esasa Islashem, they had to go into it. And, you know, I assume that the Rambam understood, you know, that about himself, that he knew about himself that he did know the Midos. Right? That's mistama what you have to say. I think the Rambam even writes such a thing in one of the Igros that explaining and justifying to if it's not the Chachmei Luniel, then maybe it's the Chachmei Teiman, why he writes in one of the Igros an actual justification for his actions, why he did it. It's along these lines that, you know, that it's the general lav is because not all the deis can handle it. But if a person knows about himself that they can, that's not in and of itself not enough. But it was Eislas Eislashem. So that's what's brought down. The Tanya writes exactly like that in terms of justifying how the Rambam and the Ramban actually did this. But if we take the Rambam at face value, we're talking about people who are maminim. We're talking about people who believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who are aware of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who are maybe simple pashut yidden. But either way, they're already makayim, they're chiyuvim, they're living as Jews. And on them it says, and what's going to happen? It'll be makalkil you. It'll take you away. It'll pull you into a place where you'll be confused and you'll be stuck and you won't know how to get out of it. So avoid all of these things as a protectionary measure for yourself. Yeah? Because even though somewhere in there we're confident, as Yidden we're confident, somewhere in there we could find a way out. If a mind was disciplined enough and a person knew the midos well enough, we're not afraid that we don't have the emes. That's not what don't misinterpret this Rambam to say that we're trying to control people because we're afraid maybe they'll find out the truth. It'll be like a Pandora's box. They'll open it up and the next thing you know, wow, oh, look at all these other wonderful ideas. That's not what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam is saying the Torah wants to protect you. Yeah? The Torah is speaking for your own benefit. The Torah is trying to protect you from getting stuck in Narishkeit. Yeah? We're not afraid that we know as those who are Mekabli Torah from Sinai all the way down the line, we're confident that our Messiah is true. We're confident we have the MS. But a person can get confused. So protect yourself about that. Sounds like Leisasru fits at the end of the Sheish Mitzvahs to Medias. A person's a Maimon. He's Miyached a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Belibai. He loves a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He fears a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But you know what? Watch out. You could get drawn into things and it'll mekalkel, and then next thing you know, you're confused, then you're lost, and you no longer feel those connections that you had to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That seems like how he's setting it up.
Missionaries have the same Meshuta.
I understand, right?
And they make sure they don't let anybody tell them otherwise, but they really brainwashed. They listen to them, and they don't let anybody tell them anything else.
I understand. Just right. Of course, we're always gonna have that criticism, right? Anyone can take the Rambam and twist it and turn it into, you know, we're like everybody else that we're just brainwashing people and trying to keep them from looking into things. Sure, right. We're gonna have that criticism, but a person who's a person who's critical enough to realize that the Torah is trying to protect us, and what the Rambam's writing over here is right. If a person is sophisticated enough to at least figure that out. So it's good advice. It's good advice. It's not coming from this mitzvah in the Torah is not coming from some rabbi or rabbinical body. You know, this is from the Torah itself. The Hashem Himself is saying, "Like
the mitzvah is telling that person already has emunah."
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
As soon as only mind just fly, it's not telling not to think. You already have a thought. You can think about it. You shouldn't stand just thinking about it. Your mind.
Yeah. How did the Rambam do it? So what you mean is the Rambam? What he said.
He had a specific reason in doing it. It wasn't necessarily.
I understand.
He was learning just to take the advantage.
I agree. So the Rambam was going in, not, in other words, there's a difference of how you would go in. If you go in, well, I don't know. I don't know what the truth is. Let me go find out what the truth is, and I'll go look into all these things. That's not how the Rambam did it. The Rambam himself said, there's no way that I'm going to allow myself meirush to come out with any conclusion other than what I already know to be true. There's no way I'm going to allow myself to explore this as is it actually true or not. I'm only looking at this in order to see where it's wrong. What's wrong with it and how to help people so I can see if they're stuck here, how to get them to move to the next thing and get them from out of their shtus. That's how the Rambam himself did it, which means he wasn't actually looking at it from the point of view of an open mind. But the Torah is saying that that you wouldn't necessarily be able to have that much mind control. I'll tell myself, yeah, I know, I'm solid in my beliefs. I know, you know, but you know, I have this friend. He has these questions. I want to help him, right? Or I saw this thing one time, or somebody told me this thing one time. And it really bothered me, and I never got a satisfactory answer. And I see this guy over here. He wrote this whole article on it. Sounds interesting. Let me read it. Yeah. If you go into like that, then we're in trouble. Yeah. But the point is exactly as you said. The Rambam is saying the mitzvah leisasru is talking to a maimon. Yeah. It's talking to a person who's already there. He's connected. But we don't have, not every person can protect themselves going into these types of things That I know I'm just going to look and see what's wrong with it and find the flaw and the mistake where it was made, and I'll be able to be mitaking people who are in this matzav and even myself from ever falling into these traps like they are, because I'll catch it, I'll realize it, I'll see it, and then I'll know and I can expose it and show everyone else.
I'm such a person that really has a subject. What should you do?
Well, that's the question. What does the Rambam say to do about a person who really has a suffix? That's my question before. That's what I asked. A Baal Tshuva, what's he supposed to do?
Yeah, I'm not Tshuva. Somebody
that's not right. Exactly. I'm saying, just Baal Tshuva is the easiest way to phrase it. But FFB people who are born and raised in a home like that, we also have suffix.
The lab is not for a person like that. The lab is a person that doesn't have a suffix. The lab is a person that's mind is flying away. A person really has a suffix. Not like a suru.
You're right, it's Los Asur, but the question is why not? Is because I don't have a choice at that point. What am I supposed to do? Right? It's not that the Tam isn't still Chal. The Tam is still Chal. That guy's not more disciplined in his thinking. If anything, he's less. Yeah? The guy who has a Suffolk, he's not better off than the person the Rambam is saying that the Mishnah does speak to. He's worse off, if anything. But what is it? He has no choice. The point is, the Rambam is only talking, right? But that guy has no choice. What is he supposed to do? He has no etza. He has to. Yeah. By the way, I would just say that if a person like that, you know, what I've found, my own experience, you can look into it for yourself. For some odd reason, yeah, people who are in that matzav of having a suffix, you would ask yourself, well, gee. What's the first person I would go to ask about a suffix like this?
A rabbi.
Somebody who has a chance of actually knowing? Or somebody who's already decided that, oh yeah, because of that kasha, that's why I left Yiddishkeit. Right? That's why I don't want anything to do with all of this mess. Right? I found, personally, and I can't figure out why, that 99.9% of the people who are in that matzav find that they're more comfortable asking their questions to people who have already, because of that or whatever other reason, it doesn't even matter at that point, have already decided that because of that's all Narishkeit. It shows that it's a serious problem. A person who's in that situation, if you ask me, the most responsible thing to do would be at least to ask one of each, not only the you know, go to the blogs and the you know, the false Mashiachs and all these guys who've already, you know, like they've already got the whole Nusach worked out of how to take everyone away from Yiddishkeit because of this kasha or that kasha. Anyways, but you know, that's the world we live in. And the Rambam was, for that reason, went out of his way to go figure it out. But we don't have such a person today. We don't have such a person who's standing up, right, you know, Baruch Hutzais saying, Rabbeisa, I've got the answers, come talk to me, or writing a book about it. A few people tried, but it's like a drop in the bucket, you know. So we're in trouble. We're mamish in trouble. But those guys don't have a choice. I am asking to you. There's nothing you can do. Now, what's interesting is that the Malbim in his presentation, he brings... I'm Loisa Surachar Lubavchem Brachar Einechem. He says like this. Vine das rabim shehis orus chenes halev el ha'avera bo misivus hachushim. Most people, the way they think about how do averas actually happen, let's trace it. Let's go through the anatomy of how an avera happens, right? So, most people think there's chemdas alev el ha'avera bo misibas hachushim, which starts from the chushim ha'ayin roye. Finish the sentence. Ha'alev koymed.
Klayam
ayse garmim. Right? It's brought. It's kosh of a mimer. Right? The eye see, the lev is koymed, and the klayam ayse are koymed. So then, what's the Seder? I see it, I want it, I go get it. That's how averas happen. That's how most people look at how averas happen. Omnam chazal diku ahefech. Chazal medayek the exact opposite. Ki betzad echad lule kodmu tziure hataiva limshol belibay bederach ra udarki haminu shemasu belibla aser mipanav yiras Hashem upachta lohaya nifal mimara einav. If you didn't already have some association, some connection to wanting and seeing that which your eyes are now going to see, as being something you want, or something that's positive, something that you want to have an association with, if that wasn't kadma, so when your eyes would see it, the lev wouldn't be chaymed. So it actually starts before the eyes. It actually starts in the lev. Yeah? So when the Torah says, loisa suru acharei levavchem v'acharei necham, he's answering the kasha. If according to the theory that the eyes see and the lev wants, and then the clay meiser gaimrim, so then the Torah should have said, loisa suru acharei necham v'acharei levavchem. Just go around like this all day long. Don't look at anything, or be very careful what you look at. Be very selective, because if you do, if you don't live that way, then the next thing you know, you'll be drawn to with the lave, and the next thing you know, you'll be out there doing your affairs. The Torah says the exact opposite, and Chazal are medayik this, because in the Medrash Halacha here it says that this mitzvah of leisasur achrei levavchem v'achrei nechem applies to suma also, to a blind person also. A suma doesn't have a nine roim, the lev klaymeg, the klaymeis and gamim. He doesn't see anything. So how could it apply also to a suma, this mitzvah? It can't. He's menutak, so he wouldn't have any mitzvah of leisasur, the vavera of leisasur of bechlal, if the theory of you first see it, then your lev wants it, then you go get it. Nor bus is that there's such a thing called bias, negias. There's midos ros. There are things that are already there inside of the person before they see with their eyes anything. I always use this example, you'll forgive me if it's a bit crass. But when there were bus bombings going off all the time, Chas v'shalom lo aleinu, yeah? All the people who were for the peace process, you know what they say? Here, another bus bombing. This is proof of why we have to deal with these guys and negotiate with them and give back more land and make concessions to them so they'll stop doing this. This is the proof. And the people who are against the peace process, what do they say? You see this bus bombing? You see what happens when you sit down and negotiate with these people and make concessions and give them? Who's right? I know it's a silly thing to ask. But they're both looking at the exact same thing. Right? The news clip or the article or the reality in front of us. Chas v'shalom. And one has, this is a raya for exactly what I believe in, that the peace process has to happen. And the other one is, it's a raya, the peace process is a joke, and it's going to ruin us. And so how do we ever know whether what we're seeing is actually, in fact, what we're really seeing? Like, what are we actually seeing? So your negias, your bias, your midos, your everything that builds who you are before you go into it, that's what you see, what you want to see, basically. That's what this is saying. You see what you want to see. And now, if this is the way we understand the mitzvah of the avera of leisasur rachrei levavchem v'achrei nechem, I venture to say that if a person's not really on board with what's being said here, then they don't realize that I could be totally disconnected from all of the mitzvahs of Amunah and Bitachon and Yichud and Ahava and Yira, because there's something in me that's preventing me from being able to see. What would bring a person to Amunah? The Niflais Habriya, the beauty of Torah, Hashem and His Drachim in the world. But why when I open up my eyes and I look around in the world that I am living in, am I not drawn to Amunah, Bitachon, Ahava, and Yira? Why doesn't that happen to me? Because there's something blocking. There's something getting in the way from before. It's not, you're already a maimon, be careful not to fall into all these distractions because it'll draw you away. That would be the theory of your eyes see, the lev wants, and then you'll, the next thing you know, there you are, right, doing that avera. He's saying that theory doesn't work. It's not in the Seder HaKra that way. Suma is chayav in this mitzvah, and therefore you see from Chazal that their tfisa of what leisasur is really, it precedes the entire system of the Sheish Mitzvahs to Midas. A person could fall into Minas, not because, even though they're in, if you ask them, if you talk to them, like, oh yeah, because of this kasha and that kasha, I had this problem, and no one answered me, and really, it was just that they had something that was bothering them in their Midas, or something, some past experience they couldn't get over, they had a bias, and so everything was all skewed, and they just got the wrong picture and the wrong idea about everything, and the next thing you know, they become a Kaifer and a Min. Yeah, and about Taiva, and they're running after the Taivas, and they can't figure out why anyone doesn't understand why they like that. Right? So this is really the question. Where do you put Laisasuru? Do you put it at the beginning or do you put it at the end? And I think the answer is both. The answer is both. Laisasuru fits perfectly in either place. It really does. You can either put it as a preliminary, but that would mean that what we're talking about is like the, like if you read the Sefer Evan Shleima. The whole person, the whole reason why a person's here in this world is to work on their midos. And all the nesilinus in life are all really bigger from our midos. And working on our midos is at the core of all of Avodas Hashem. Those are the first, that's like the Aleph Beis of the Sefer Evan Shleima from, right, from the these are passages from the Gra, things that he wrote, brought together from one of the Talmidim. And really that's the idea. Really that's the idea that who we are is going to affect what we see and what we think, and we have to be aware of that, that we're always mechuyev to work on ourselves and to make sure that we're straight people all together and go into and be mashrush midos raos and try to gain control of ourselves. Because that's the only way we stand a chance to actually get to what the Torah is talking about. Bechlal. Yeah? But even if we do that, we get somewhere with that and we move along the way. We have to, of course, always protect ourselves, because if we don't watch out, there are distractions, there are things that can pull us away. So it works in either way. Now, just to try to bring things together, the Sefer Achinuch says that, he says there are shesh mitzvahs shechiyuvan tamidi, that there are six mitzvahs that their chiyuv is tamidi, and he says that the simanech, the simen of how to remember them is shesh arei miklat taselecha. There's like state in the Hakdama over there of the Sefer Achinuch to the whole Sefer, yeah? Shesh arei miklat taselecha. Now, you could say, you just picked that out of a hat, it's something that happens to be six, he wanted to give you a nice little simen to remember, it's something with six, but the, if you think deeper about it, he's saying bigger ideas than that, and I'm not making this up. I've seen it in Achrayim that they wanted to say that his kavana was deeper than that. To look at the Sheish Mitzvot Tamidias as places of refuge, yeah, places of refuge. The idea is that now one way is to look at it as the how does the refuge work? Is that the best defense is a good offense. Yeah? If we're working on Anoichi and Yichud and Ahava and Yira and developing and growing in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and of course protecting ourselves from the things that we should be protecting ourselves, but basically working on offense, the best defense is a good offense. So, just keep scoring, keep moving forward. So the refuge is in the positive avoda of putting them all together. And if you're working from that point of view, so Anoichi is the foundation. That's where you begin, right? If you were to look at it as a system. It starts in the mind. It's about my awareness. It's about my attitudes. It's about the way I look at, a Kadosh Baruch Hu in my life and living with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that, if I keep that awareness up as much as I can, it starts to penetrate into my midas. And then I'm mislahev. I love a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm aware of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I fear a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it ends up being that that's really all there is. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is my whole life, right? Yichud Hashem is at the core of it all, where everything comes together. It's all about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. My whole life is about relating to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you basically go through a cycle of using the mind to affect the heart, and then being mislahev, and that draws to a new level, and then, right, there is more clarity to gain at that new level, and it keeps on a cycle all the time, like the Rambam's talking about. In the mitzvah of loving a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Rambam says, I think about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then I fall in love with him, and I'm also near to Lachairah. But that doesn't just happen one time, that keeps happening all the time as a person contemplates a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the refuge works by basically the best defense, right, is a good offense. I guess that's the opposite of the way it's usually said. But the point is, you have to work on your offense. You have to grow in awareness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it will drive you to deeper levels of relating to Him. And you'll be protected. You'll be naturally protected. Of course, you'll have to not do stupid things and, make sure that, you're working on yourself. But basically, that will be the refuge. Alternatively, the refuge could be that a person really, right, has more of a sur meira type of approach. The sur meira type of approach is basically, look, you know, how am I going to protect myself? How am I going to gain refuge? It's a crazy world out there. There's a lot of shtus, there's a lot of problems, there's a lot of issues. You know, some people, like the Rambam says, if you can't find a place where you can really manage to live because there's just insanity ever, go live in a cave. The Rambam writes like that. Go live in a cave. Yeah, if the world is just madness around you, go live in a cave. Now, I'm not suggesting we should go live in a cave, but the idea behind the Rambam is basically, you know, to create a barrier for myself, to protect myself. No outside influences, and put a dagesh on all of these types of things. No outside influences, no, you know, stay away from all that, be very rigid about that. And because I'm not being drawn by any of that and I'm in control, naturally I'll have, right, if I'm learning and I'm doing the things I'm supposed to do, naturally all these things will happen. I'll feel connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we believe that the only reason everybody doesn't is because they're just involved in madness. They're not connected at all, and because they're just swimming around in distraction, a sea of distractions. If they would just pay attention, like the Rashba at the end of the on his parish on Yevamos, there's in the back in the what's it called, the Koivet something or other. It's printed in the back of Maseches Yevamos. They have a little thing over there. The Rashba asked the famous Kasha. If the Torah says Achrei Rabim Lahatois, so you see, most people in the world believe that we're crazy. So why are we crazy? So you know the Rashba. It's a famous Rashba. What's the answer? If there's 8 billion people in the world, and you know 7.9 billion of them at least, right, all believe that what we're saying is complete narishkeit, so then why aren't we mechuyev to just forfeit what we believe and go after the right? Yeah. So he says, Achrei Rabim Lahatois was said to the Beis Din, who were people who were assumed to have das. So Achrei Rabim Lahatois of people who actually have das. So then Achrei Rabim Lahatois, yeah. But then all them out there, they have no idea what they're talking about. They're insane. We don't say Achrei Rabim Lahatois on a bunch of shoytim. That's the Rashba's answer. But if you think about the depth of what's being said by the Rashba, aside from the slap of the hand, right, to the world at large, there's a deeper point, which is, and it's in Rav Elchanan also in his Maamar on Emunah, which is basically all you have to do is just make sure that you're not following after your biases and that you're basically keeping away from the shtus and the narishkeit, and the rest, right, will happen naturally. We don't need proofs of God. We don't need all these things, so to speak, in his lexicon. All we need to do is just keep ourselves away from the shtus and the insanity of the world at large, and we'll be fine. These are two totally different approaches of how to look at what the refuge of the sheish, right, Ari Miklat Tase Lecha. How do the six work together? Are they basically an offensive strategy, or are they basically a defensive strategy? But you can make your own marufas, and you should make your own marufas. By the way, I'll say a different thing. In addition to looking at them as a system of working together, each one in and of itself should be seen as its own city of refuge. If a person has a way, a marufa in a Havas Hashem, yeah, of how to come to Havas Hashem, how to feel Havas Hashem, how to strengthen Havas Hashem, that in and of itself can be a refuge. You have a Marokka in Yiras Hashem, that itself can be a refuge. You have a Marokka in Amuna, that itself can be a refuge. Each one of them is an independent place of refuge in and of itself. They form a system, a city, right? A system of cities of refuge. They're one unit in our judicial system somehow. They serve as one overall unit, Sheish Arei Miklat Tasilcha. It's a mitzvah to make the Arei Miklat as a whole, right? They're all, you know, one unit together. But each one in and of itself practically functions as an Ir Miklat by itself. So either way, whether you choose to look at them as a system, as an offensive system working together, or a defensive system working together, or each one individually in and of itself. Each one of these mitzvahs is in and of itself also an ir miklat. An ir miklat. It's worth putting effort and working on trying to come up with marachas in each one of them by themselves, also understanding how they work together. And, you know, together we have more than just a simin ladavar of something that sticks. It's teaching you that these things can actually help you. These attitudes, these mitzvahs, individually or together, however you put them together, if you have a way that works, they are in and of themselves a refuge. And with that, I just want to, I think we're getting near the end, I just want to conclude. First of all, this is a tremendous schus for me. I appreciate, you know, the fact that the Olam stayed together and worked on it. It's, you know, I hope you gained from it. I personally gained from it, and it was a tremendous bracha to be involved in. You know, thank you and love and you know, for putting forth the effort to make it happen. But, you know, on that, we'll just conclude that, you know, we haven't even really scratched the surface, number one, and really, you know, the work to be done in these mitzvahs is within you, within me, within each one of us. What, you know, what we've done here is just kind of, you know, aroused and brought up some of the ideas, some of the issues, but the real hatzlacha in these mitzvahs is what you, the ha'aras that you come up with, and what you gain, and what you come, and what you work on, and what you build. I once heard Rabbi Yisrael Tauber came and said a shmooze one time in Eish HaTorah years and years ago, and he asked a very interesting question, which I never thought of, but it's actually an interesting question. He says, why is it that there hasn't yet been the sefer on, you know, on the mitzvahs of Emunah, and right, that, you know, that brings everything together, puts all everything together, you know, and it all works, and everyone, you know, holds of it. Like, you know, why hasn't there been this one sefer? I don't know what he holds of the Chovas Halavavas, but that's a I didn't ask you that question. But anyway, so you know, it's still an interesting question that
Phil,
wow,
Phil, the only
not paper. That many svarim have been written. You know, that you have a sefer on this, a sefer on that, but to take all of it and put it all together, other than the Chovas Halavavas, I don't know if anyone's really, you know, actually tried to do that. But you know, the Chovas Halavavas is also from the Rishonim. We're talking about, you know, today, like now. And, you know, Hilchos Kabasroi, like that kind of a sefer. So he wanted to suggest the following, which I'll conclude with, which is that there's no way that we could codify these mitzvahs. Why? Because at the end of the day, it's like Avram Avinu. Yeah, every one of us in this particular ofen of you know, Shivisi Hashem L'Negi Tami, every neshama has its way, and it has to be a process of discovery. It has to be that each one of us finds in our own experience, because we're talking about a qualitative dimension. We're not talking about black tefillin or red tefillin. We're not talking about things that can be quantified. You know, they have to be this big or that big, or where do you put it on the arm, here or here. We're talking about deep things in oimek nafshoy shel adam, and each person. You can say a chlau. I could say this is the kivun. This is the kivun of the Rishonim. This is our basic approach to things. I can give general guidelines. We can even codify the general guidelines. But at the end of the day, we're not talking about things that we can quantify. You know, in spatial. You know, the ox scored the ox. You know, he owes the money. He doesn't owe the money. It's black and white. Okay, the sheet does this. This sheet does that sheet. But at the end of the day, it's a quantifiable entity that, you know, we decide this is what's in Shulchan Aruch, this is Allah, that's it, right? Then it's Shaveh L'Kol Nefesh at that point, and there's nothing more to talk about. The question is just, is this your case or it's not your case? So it has to be done, right? There has to be a Shikul Adas. Is your case the case of the Shulchan Aruch, or it's different? If not, what's the Allah in that case? That's a different sif in Shulchan Aruch. It's a little different than that. You have to have a Kacham who can be Dama Milsa L'Milsa a little bit better, so we can find the Pesach for your case. But at the end of the day, they're quantifiable realities. Is it, you know, it's either in or out of the line. It's either chayev or putter or usser or mutter, and that's it. Yeah, or mesupak, so we have to be called machmir. But these are all quantifiable entities. Is there time in there? There's not time in there. Is there, you know, everything works like that. But when you start talking about a Havas Hashem, you're talking about a qualitative dimension. It's not something that can be written down, and then that becomes, this is now, you know, this is the line. Chayav Pater, Asar Mutar. We're talking about Ba'oimek Nafsho Shel Adam, and therefore every person, by definition, is going to have to discover the whole Mahalach on their own. So all that can be done is just to give direction, which the Torah does, and our Svarim do give direction and hachvana, as they say, you know, guidance along the way. But Lamaisa, here more than anything else, is where we have to do the work. And I just saw a piece in the Chovos HaLevavos the other day where he says that really this is the hardest work that there is in the Torah. The Chovos HaEvarim, many people work on and are very good at, and for good reason. But Chovos HaLevavos, the deeper Pnimi Nafshi work that a person has to do in all areas, it's just harder to do. It's pashut harder to do. It takes more koyches and more oimets and more chizuk than being mekayim the Chovos HaEvarim. Because we're talking about a qualitative dimension. You're always being moisif more and more every day, and it's hard. It's pashut hard. And lamaisa, that's really what work is in front of us if we want to take these mitzvahs seriously. As Nayach used to say, when people asked him a question in any of these in Yonim, the first thing he used to say is, did you put your Yirah Shemayim on this morning? Like a person puts on their tzitzis. Yeah, you put it's like a beged. He wouldn't talk to you. If he didn't put it on, then we're not holding in the same sugya, right? If you put on Emuna this morning when you got up, if you put on Yira, if you put on Ahava, if you put on the Beged, we can have a conversation about it. But otherwise, it's like talking to the wall. I'm talking to the wall. You're not there. You didn't put it on. So he related to it as a levush. It's something you think about. You wake up in the morning, Maidan Yilfanecha, Elikai Neshama Shinasatabi. Put on your Sheish Mitzvahs Tamidius Beged and wear it around all day long. And then you'll see you're holding in the sugya, you're wearing it, you could be machadesh and moisif and whatever, but if we leave the Beged sitting by the bed and we don't put it on, so we're not, it's like talking to the wall, you know. Hashem is sending us messages all day long, hey, you know, we just miss it. That's what we have to do. So put it on in the morning, come up with Mahalchim. It's Ba'aymet Nafshah Shal Adam. Each one of us has to discover it for ourselves and be Maisif V'Hoyleg. There are different strategies, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Oizer, each one of us, to find the Noyam and the beauty in Torah and Avoda and Dveikus as Hashem.
That the Rav just said that each person has to find his own halacha.